Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups for this cast preview of The Amazing Race, Season 30. And starting on January 3rd, you'll be able to catch many, many hours Wednesday nights on CBS. And if you're in Canada, we're going to get into this. You're going to be able to catch it in even better double episode fantasticality. My name is Jessica Leese, and here with me are my two favorite Amazing Race fans of all time, and the people that I consider personally champions of Amazing Race podcasting, Mr. Mike Bloom and Mr. Dan Heaton. Hello, gentlemen.
So what should our team name be? Our hashtag signifying how much we've excelled in the realm of podcasting?
Well, you could just be The Podcasters.
That's about as creative as some of these other team names, so I'll go with it.
The thing that would happen is you would come in saying, we want to be Team Rob has a podcast, and they'd be like, you don't get free advertising, you can be The Podcaster.
Well, Team Well Strong gets advertisement. I don't see why Rob has a podcast can't. I guess, and maybe once we get to podcast with Barack Obama and meet Hillary Clinton, then maybe we'd be able to get that hashtag going.
Maybe so. I bet you just spend the entire race running with your RHAP Bell shirts covered in gaffer tape.
Well, I am excited to be here too, though I don't know if the podcasters might be too descriptive. I almost feel like we just need like Team Mike and Dan or something really vague, because I mean, some of these are even below that. Like, come on, CBS, let's do something here.
Well, The Boys has been taken, so.
Yeah, you're thinking totally in last season, Dan, when they're like, okay, there are two people on one team. Let's just combine their names together. Like, I'm pretty sure that was our winners had their hashtag was just like Team Brooke and Scott, right?
Yeah, they tried to come up with something better, and I think it didn't stick.
It's a low bar, but, you know, these teams are just so competitive. I mean, they can't be boxed in by a hashtag, I think. They're the winners of all time.
I guess so, but you would think that if they're so great at everything they do, they'd be a little bit better at coming up with hashtags.
I mean, the hashtags are fun, but I think the fact that there are so many notable names on this cast means that we will probably be barely using these hashtags as they are. So, you know, I don't want to raise too many qualms about the names at the top here. I want to bring some positivity into this season because, like you said, Jess, I cannot believe The Amazing Race has actually made it to 30 seasons after, you know, how many mid-season replacements, after how many think pieces and articles of, okay, is this the last season of The Amazing Race? It was able to actually get to a 30th season, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our plucky little program here. Think of all the times, you know, we had to sit through episodes of Viva Laughlin. I'm waiting for other shows to get canceled so we could get this back on the air. And at this point, I think the last four seasons, I sat there at the end of the season saying, I think we're not getting another one. And I'm going to stop doing that now. I'm just going to enjoy every season as we get it.
Yeah, and I think season 29, especially when we did the preview, we were pretty much talking like it was like, well, this will be great. We've got another season, but we all were saying pretty much almost 100% sure that was it. And so now I look at it and I might get grumpy about, oh, the cast, well, but this is amazing. Oh, that's a pretty lame way to say it, but this is great that we even have, it's like a bonus. Like if you watch a movie on a DVD and there's some cool bonus feature, it's like, how do we even have this season? So I'm going to try not to be too cynical about some of the teams because I think the last few seasons I've been skeptical and then we've had pretty fun seasons. So it seems like the show, especially last season, seems to be kind of rising a little bit in terms of enjoyment even, but maybe that's because we keep expecting it to be canceled and we're just so happy to have something.
Yeah. It's like eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow will be canceled.
Yes, exactly. We're at our own pit stop. We're able to eat, sleep, and mingle with the other podcasters before we set up on our next destination. I don't want to get like, you know, too far off the beaten path, but how did you guys feel initially when this cast was announced? Because I think, you know, after season 29, we had even come onto this podcast together and said, you know, it would be a great thing to sort of round out season 30. Let's do like an All-Stars Perfect Stranger season where they take or even just another All-Stars season. And then they sort of take a Survivor approach to it. And they say, you know what? It's just our 30th season. There is a sort of underlying theme that I'm sure we're going to be talking about. But they say, OK, let's go back to our tried and true formula of teams of two people who know each other. After, I would argue, season 29 sort of put some electricity back into the franchise as a whole. Did either of you feel one way or the other when you saw how the template was going to shape back out to what it was before?
Yeah, I actually was, it seems weird to say it, but I was a little disappointed they didn't do Perfect Strangers again. And it doesn't even matter if it was All-Stars or not. I found that so interesting just them all kind of getting to know each other and some not getting along and then some getting along really well. And I feel like the one downside here, and I don't mind them casting famous people and such. I mean, relatively famous people. Some of these teams, I think, have one person that I'm like, this person looks really interesting. And then one person that's kind of just there. And I don't, I mean, they could totally surprise me, so I don't want to be too negative. But that is the benefit of The Perfect Strangers. You don't often have this kind of other person that joins the, like the famous eater and then the other guy, you know, basically.
The famous eater and the slightly less famous eater.
Basically.
That's been a common complaint that we've had in, how many seasons of the show have we covered at this point? And that's something that does come up. And I think getting a temporary reprieve from it kind of reminded us, well, you could have a team that has two really hilarious people that both have strong personalities, that both stand out, and one is not just along for the ride because they have the same hair color as the other one, you know? On the other hand, this is a memorable list of people.
Yeah, part of that might just be because of the famous names and faces. I mean, I got to be there at the live starting line that they did in New York City back in October, and I have the sunburn to show for it, but even then, we were like pointing out people because we knew that Jessica and Cody were going to be on. That was announced right after their Big Brother finale, or even when, you know, the clouds were ruminating around said finale. But when we got to the starting line, we're like, oh, there's Sean Marion. There's Joey Chestnut. There's Eater X. You know, there's a NASCAR driver. Like, there were all of these people. And so there was some questions about, is this a celebrity version? And it doesn't seem to be. So I guess, you know, I was very lucky to have a conversation with Phil about it directly for Parade. And he said that what they're sort of, for lack of a better term, championing this season is the idea of being a champion and being very competitive, getting, what if we put the quote unquote best of the best from their respective fields together. Now, I would not necessarily say like all true themes, that theme necessarily holds across all the casting, but I would say it's really brought together a very eclectic group of people that I would never have expected to be on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, well, that's true. And Mike, I think this is something that I'm going to want to hear more about as we get into this cast preview, because you were, in fact, very lucky to have been able to stand outside in Washington Square Park for 6 hours while they unfolded the starting line. And I would love to hear if anything you saw at the starting line informs kind of the people that you would be putting on Team Mike.
Yeah, I'll definitely chip in sort of my day of opinions, because there are a couple of specific teams that I was noticing. So I'll tease that out for a little bit before we jump into the draft prior.
You know, you bring up a good point, Mike, in terms of what Phil said about them looking for these champions. It makes me wonder a little bit season six, where they got all the physical people and pushed them hard. But if they're going to, and they always say at the starting line, Phil will say, this is the hardest race we've ever done. But it doesn't generally change that much. But it does make me wonder, since they found this champion and that's like their theme is kind of the best of the best, will they make it harder and have more tasks or harder tasks in order to kind of test these people more than we might normally see?
That's a very good question. I haven't even thought about the route that they're taking. I know that they are, you know, they're going off to Iceland. That was revealed. Phil told me they're going to Bahrain for the first time, which I'm glad that they're still, even 30 seasons later, able to throw in some new countries there. But you bring up a good point. There could be a possibility that they say, okay, you're the best of the best. Maybe we'll see some, you know, more switchbacks than usual with some possible escalations. Hey, you want to unroll these hay bales and find one clue? Now you have to unroll three hay bales and find three clues. You know, just those types of things of like upping it to the next level. Because, yeah, these are all extremely competitive. It's interesting when I looked at the cast overall, because, you know, there are some complaints that I saw online, specifically this season, about how, you know, they don't cast regular people anymore. This doesn't really feel like, you know, a mother son team, or, you know, the best friends who like to just hang out together. This feels like more of a gimmick. And I don't know, I would disagree with that, but it definitely feels like, you know, how in the every season proper, it seems like there's at least one team where you sort of like, either, you know, the person, or at least their accolades shine a little bit more above all the other people that they're competing with. They've now filled the season filled with those teams, if that makes any sense. You know, we're saying like, hey, you know, this team from a season that made news for doing something, we're going to put all of those people on this season. And I think it might be a good way to bring in new viewers to The Amazing Race. I know specifically in the realm of Big Brother, a lot of people have said, I've never watched The Amazing Race before. I will now because of Jessica and Cody. Or some have said I will never watch again because of Jessica and Cody. But we can certainly talk about that. But it's such an interesting idea to me that, again, I would not call this a celebrity season, but this seems to be the most notable group of people that we've ever had on the race cumulatively.
It's like having a season full of 22 Bethany Hamiltons. Like Bethany and Bethany, you are team number one. I'm sorry, Bethany and Bethany, you have been eliminated from the race.
Well, that being said, do you think there's a chance that like any of them will get helped on the race? Because we saw that with Bethany a bit. We've seen it with people like Rob and Amber. Do you think that anyone, and we're also probably going to like warn this in advance, I think we all have different barometers of what we consider famous as we break these people down. But do you think any of these people stand a chance of like if they're in another country of someone recognizing them and helping them out?
I think you could potentially have somebody who is a huge fan of IndyCar racing, for example. But, you know, is there a much of a worldwide audience for Big Brother US? And I guess I could see some NBA fans, competitive eating fans. I think I know everybody that's an obsessive competitive eating fan, though, and I think they're all local. But I think that's a valid question. Is that something that's going to come up? I know it came up a lot during the social media mogul season. So I think you could be looking for that to happen, somebody to recognize someone from their YouTube video and give them a little bit of a boost. But I think I don't see one person standing out as being that person who's going to get all the help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, really, the most likely might be the NBA players just because they're tall. And we've had that before. People are like, you're very tall, or there aren't that many. Even there's some teams that, I mean, yes, like let's say you have Brittany who won a lifeguard championship. I guess she's a celebrity, but not really. And you do have people like the goat yoga people or the firefighters. So you do have some kind of regular people in that way. So it's not all that way. So it doesn't bother me very much. I also wonder if they're going to introduce, you know, they will, kind of five hole type challenges, like how far down that rabbit hole they'll go, like race car driving. How many hot dogs can you eat? Like how far will they go to try and make these people mess up in their own given field?
Yeah, well, that occurred to me, like, as I was looking at each one of these people at their professions, I was thinking, like, for instance, we had a firefighting challenge in a finale. We had a lifeguarding challenge in a finale. Like, how many of these people will have something, run up against something that closely mirrors what they do for a living or what they are best at?
Yeah, we had a race car driving in the last finale, even.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So, yeah, it seems like I don't think they'll do too much of it. We'll probably see the usual kind of, and everyone says they can't dance. So we'll probably see a lot of those. But in general, I don't know how much of it we'll see.
So it's become tradition around here on Reality Wrap-Ups / Amazing Race Edition to draft some teams and then sort of keep track of how our teams are doing and get some bragging rights up in there. And we always have some brave volunteers who create wonderful infographics for us to trace how we're doing. And we did kind of bat around the idea that this was going to be a little bit tough if there's three of us and 11 teams. And I think the way we have to do this is we will go around, we will do our usual snake draft, talking about the teams as we draft them. And then the final two teams will go to Team Rob. And then Rob can have those people to root for over the course of the season. We did invite him on to choose his own team, but we will choose for him.
I mean, he worked out pretty well with when we gave him Ashton last time, considering, you know, had a U-turn gone a different way, he could have stood in a much better spot than he ended up ending up in.
I think the point where Rob's team of six Ashtons was beating all of us was a proud and simultaneously shameful moment in Amazing Race draft history.
I think I was losing to Rob for a long time last season. I finally passed him, but it was well past Ashton was gone. So I can only do better this time. I have a feeling it can't be worse.
Well, I think, Dan, given how badly you did last time, I think it would be only fair for, since Mike and I were splitting the winning team last season, I think it's only fair for us to give you first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of expected that. So I was prepared for this, so I don't have to worry about it. Let me pull up my team here. I actually went back and forth. I almost decided that I was going to do my usual and pick a team people hate and pick Team Big Brother, but I'm not going to do that. I decided I didn't really want to root for them. They seem fine. And I have no idea, actually, because I don't watch Big Brother, but I am going to go with the two dudes who look to be, they look like the type of team that we see in the final three. So I'm going to pick Alexander and Connor, the team IndyCar, as my number one choice.
Good call.
Ha ha. Jess, I stop your momentum. At least
usurper.
I actually made this change this morning. I was going to pick Team Big Brother. But so the reason I picked this team is not just because they're IndyCar racers. I mean, obviously, Alexander has been very successful. You know, he's won the Indy 500. Poor Connor has only finished second in an Indy race. So I feel bad for him. But they're both 26 years old. They've competed at the highest level. They're roommates. So this isn't a case like a few other teams where it seems like they don't know each other very well. And I just find that a few of these teams that are kind of celebrities, I feel like, are a little distracted by promoting their brand or promoting what they're doing. I don't get the case with these guys. I mean, they may want to promote indie racing, but I think they're going to be more focused on winning. And they look athletic, but also pretty down to earth. I don't feel like they're trying to be big characters. They may be slightly boring. The only thing that could be a challenge, I think they might be a little arrogant about their skills, especially Alexander. But I look at them and I say that team's going to be in the final three, so, and has a good chance. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy, Dan. That's a fantastic pick. In fact, that was going to be my first pick, so thanks. I don't quibble with anything you're saying here. I think these guys, you know, my philosophy on choosing amazing race winners is I always choose the team that looks the most boring. And I think these guys are it. The bar for boring is pretty low this season, though, because I think they've done a really good job of picking people that are interesting. So I wouldn't say these guys are boring in a vacuum. I think they're interesting. They've got a cool job. They're in good shape. And you're absolutely right. This looks like the team that goes to the final three.
Yeah. I mean, they were definitely one of the teams that definitely stuck out to me at the starting line. You know, admittedly, there was a lot of adrenaline going on. You could see some teams were sort of antsy and sort of bopping around, but they were at the very back of the line. They seemed very, very cool and calm, which I think makes sense given their job. Connor in particular looked very like, he's a little bit on the shorter side, but he's very buff. So if there's anything involving, I know we talked a lot in the Amazing Race 29 draft about physicality and dealing with more strength-based activities. I think, if anything, he can definitely handle that. They have a lot of worldly experience. Connor is an Irish citizen. He's like dual citizenship in Ireland and the United States. And they also met, I believe, racing cars in Europe. So I think they're definitely well-traveled enough that, you know, dropping them off in the middle of a country, they're not going to have to get their bearings down. Obviously, if they do a lot of self-driving, that's really going to help things, even though NASCAR, you're driving in one direction. So who knows if they're necessarily doing well with navigating in particular. But I feel overall this is going to be a very sedated team in terms of dealing with the more extreme elements of the race. To quibble a bit with what you said, Dan, about how they might be overly boring, the one thing that I kept hearing about Connor from both Alex and himself is that he's funny and he's hilarious. So again, we'll see if that actually turns out to be a thing. But I have a feeling of the two, Connor would be the one to stand out more from a personality side.
I agree. And I think I did have in my notes, Connor seems goofier. So I don't know. Maybe that was them telling me that, but they just seem like one of those teams that they're not going to win every leg. There's too many good teams, but I could see this stretch where they come in and they go third, fourth, third, second. Then they win a leg. And all of a sudden near the end, they start winning. And you're like, yeah, they haven't been on the screen that much because they're not in last. It just seems like there's some other teams that are going to mess up more. Now, the danger is obviously if they do too well, they could get U-turned. But, you know, there's no control over that. I think they seem like the steadiest team. And we've seen steady teams win, like, you know, even the most recent Canada season. So they look kind of like that.
Yep. Medium pace and steady. That's always the team I pick for Amazing Race Canada. And I've been right 3 years in a row, right, Dan?
I don't know what you're talking about. I was right one of those years. But yes, you have been correct.
And you were right because you picked the same team I did.
That is very true. But I'm feeling good about this. You know, though, because I picked them, that the odds of them winning has gone way down in, you know, back to last October. I've already jinxed them, but we'll see. I'm excited.
No, I think it's a great pick, Dan, as long as they don't have to turn right.
That's just disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, it really is. I think I'm looking forward to seeing these guys out on the course, and hopefully they'll surprise us a little bit in the personality department. And I think they definitely won't be any surprises in the competition department. So Mike, I'm going to go ahead and let you go next.
Ooh, okay. So I'm between a couple of teams right now, but you know what? I just got into the gig of covering a lot of reality television for Parade. So I feel like the CBS synergy in me is really buzzing. I'm going to do what Dan did in and go with Team Big Brother here.
Yeah, well, someone had to.
Well, so no, I'm really intrigued to hear from you both, because Jess, I know that you marginally check out Big Brother, and Dan, I know you haven't seen any of it. So I would love to hear from you both first what your opinions are about these two, pretty much not knowing who they are or what they did at all over this past summer.
Well, I can go first since I haven't seen Big Brother at all. This is the way looking at them, I not knowing anything about them at all. He seems like your typical kind of military guy. He's like, it is, you know, he's in his early 30s. He's kind of dull. He's very strong. He's not going to say much. And then she seems like somebody who really loves the camera and is someone we've seen on this show a lot. But, you know, I don't know much about their relationship. To me, I look at them and I say, teams of Big Brother, have done okay. Not the first example, but in generally have done okay. They seem to be physically fit. I think they're going to be on our screens for a long time just because they're not on there just because, I mean, maybe they were big characters. To me, they seem more like they're going to be pretty steady team beyond that. I just don't know any of the baggage they're bringing. They seem just kind of like, okay, this is kind of a team we've seen on the race before, like a new couple, basically.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that, Dan. And I will say, you know, I paid tepid attention to Big Brother like I do every summer, just because if you don't pay attention to Big Brother over the summer, you really lose touch with the Rob Has Podcast family outside of those crazy people that are tracking down Amazing Race Canada. So I was kind of following them, and I don't think we've got another Brendan and Rachel on our hands. That's definitely for sure. They are both a little more even keeled. And I think Cody in particular got this reputation for having no emotions whatsoever. So that should be an interesting thing to see on the race. The one thing that I always go into Big Brother, and this is the reason I don't tend to pay close attention to this show, and, you know, don't at me, guys, but every year I start watching Big Brother and I think I'm going to follow this for as long as I can handle it. And as long as, you know, the people are interesting, and as long as, you know, it doesn't come out that somebody on the cast said terrible bigoted things on social media 3 years ago and then spit something out on the live feeds that's equally offensive. And every year someone does it, and every year I'm disgusted and I have to stop watching the show. And as I recall, the person that year was Cody. He had some kind of controversial opinions, and it made me not like him and made me not want to root for a relationship that if I didn't know anything off of the show, I think I probably would have been rooting for these two guys. They were the plucky underdogs throughout the season, and especially after Cody got eliminated from the show, Jessica stayed on much longer than everybody thought she would. She had an advantage that ended up being a very memorable part of a live Big Brother recap here in New York. I think even if you're not paying attention to the show, having 300 people in a room chanting the Halting Hex chant is something that will stick in your memory. I mean, all that said, I think they seem to have a pretty strong relationship. They seem to be in peak physical shape. They aren't going to be as prone to breakdowns, I think, as some of the other Big Brother teams we've seen. And all that adds up to they've got a good toolkit. But on the other hand, Brendan and Rachel, you look at them going into their first season, you think these guys are a hot mess, and yet they made the finals twice. So who even knows?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess to give some background to those like Dan who don't necessarily know where Jess and Cody were coming from. Spoilers for Big Brother 19, if you haven't watched it yet and you want to check all of that out. So basically, Cody won the first head of household, so he became the first person in the position of power of the season. And there was one guy named Paul who was on the previous season who came into play with them. And Cody immediately went after him, but he sort of missed his shot due to unforeseen circumstances that I don't even need to go into at this point. But essentially, since then, him and Jessica were public enemies number one and two. So like Jess said, they were pretty much underdogs since like the second week on the show. Oh, Cody got voted out actually once and then came back via a Redemption Island like competition. They were on the block together. And as Jess said, Jessica was able to nullify the eviction. They went home about halfway through the season in 12th place and 11th place. Cody became the first member of the jury and actually ended up screwing over that veteran at the end of the game by being the one vote to cost him the win after he sort of like Boston Rob slash coach from Survivor South Pacific his way to the end. But they won a good amount of competitions between them. Like Jess said, they're in very good physical condition. Jessica won an endurance competition, and Cody, again, the Big Brother competitions don't necessarily carry over to the Amazing Race, but those that test things like strength, balance, and endurance, I feel like have some sort of parallels. And so they did well there. They are very even keeled, specifically with each other. There were a couple times when they would fight with the rest of the house. There was a particularly ugly day where the entire house was sent to essentially poke and prod Jessica and Cody to try to start fights with them. And they had some moments where they decided to lash out, but they remained relatively calm because they were just focused on each other the entire time. Unlike Brendan and Rachel, there was maybe one moment where they were like, we're not on the same page. This is horrible. Our relationship is in strife. But unlike Brendan and Rachel, they never really have had the peaks and valleys. You know, Jessica is the one to really vocalize, even in her Meet the Teams video, about how much in simpatico they are, which again is a little bit of a mismatch pairing. She is, you know, someone from California. He's an emotionalist cyborg man from the South, but they really do care for each other. You can even tell that relationship from the way that Cody said, what, maybe like five words in his Meet the Teams video, and Jessica said everything. I think Cody got voted America's favorite house guest at the end, mostly because everyone, the audience, was sort of really against what Paul had been doing, that they decided to reward Cody with this win for being the quote unquote underdog of this season. But he also, as Jess said, earned some laughs because he was the straight man in like the big comedy scene that is Big Brother sometimes. When there's a lot of goofy stuff going down, Cody was the one to go into the diary room and say, like, I don't care. What is this? I don't want to do this. I don't
is
know
this
if that's
mandatory.
Essentially, I don't know if that humor is going to translate to the race necessarily. So I don't know if like the Cody we quote unquote know and love is going to show on this race. It might be more of like a, I don't know, like Jeff and Jordan. They were big characters on Big Brother, but didn't really translate when they were on Amazing Race 16. Jenna and Ethan the same way. So yeah, I think I'm hoping they're going to do well. That's why I picked them. They seem to be in general very confident and more level-headed than other reality TV holdovers we've had in the past. But I do not necessarily think they're going to create big bombastic TV moments. If anything, I think the social media around them is going to be more big and bombastic because, as I mentioned before, there are reasons to absolutely dislike them, but there are people that love them and there are people who hate them. So to have those people be brought into the Amazing Race atmosphere and see how that carries over is going to be really interesting, especially if a team decides to U-turn them. They might want to stay off of social media for the week. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I was worried about this during the social media season. The strong fan base tends to be a little bit troubling to those of us that are covering the show, because you never know when you're going to say something that's going to be taken the wrong way and then have a legion of fans from the crossover universe set on you. Not that I have any personal experience with that, but one point you made, Mike, that I think might endear this team to me in a huge way is I am a sucker for any team that has a deadpan sense of, and anytime you just have them reacting to things sort of off the cuff and deadpanning one-liners about whatever they're being exposed to, I tend to really go for that in a big way. So if we get a lot of shots of Cody just sort of reacting to things with his one-note personality, I think I might end up actively rooting for these people. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that's the side we see of them, and they don't end up being the same characters they were on Big Brother with every other team gunning for them.
And if anything, they also bring another entertainment factor in Cody's shorts, which, again, I was there in person and you can see from the pictures, those things were probably even shorter than the ones Jessica had on. It was a little cuckoo bananas. We'll see if they rock that throughout the entire course of the race, but it certainly made for an interesting starting line, especially when you find out what the first thing they need to do after Phil says go, it'll make a lot more sense.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how they do. Like I said, I was going to pick him, but he does look like he's almost asleep in the video. And I think if that's not the worst approach to the race. So I think they have a good chance to be in at least the final three or four for sure. So that's a good pick.
Yeah, and I mean, the further they go, the more their fans will keep watching the show, the better the show does in the ratings. There's not a downside to them staying in the race for a really long time.
All right, you get the next two, Jess.
I get the next two. All right. You know, we were talking about tiny shorts and leaving little to the imagination. And so I'll just kind of go down that road a little bit because why not? And I'm going to go with Trevor and Chris, Team Well Strung.
Mm, all right.
Nice. Chelsea's mom, which I watched yesterday.
A lot of fun watching these guys on their YouTube channel. Although it does kind of beg the question, how do the other two members of the string quartet feel about the fact that two of their members get to go on the Amazing Race and the other two are stuck at home? And how did they choose?
Well, here's the thing, though, is that I'm still trying to figure out if Trevor and Chris are dating or not, because I have seen I've taken a look at like several different lists and breakdowns that people have posted. And some say they're boyfriends. Some say they're just roommates. Even in their video, they're like, oh, about 3 years ago, we moved in together. I'm like, OK, that makes sense. All of us moved in together. That makes less sense. So I'm still really confused personally as to whether if they're in a relationship, it would make more sense why these two decided to go on together. But if it's merely platonic, then yeah, I totally agree, Jess. I don't know if they drew the shortest straws out of the hat to promote Well Strung on the race.
It's kind of, I call this the Stealing Angels Memorial casting choice, because we got Jen and Caroline, and there's a third member of their band that didn't get to go with them on the trip.
I think that I got the impression they were dating again from the video, because the way they described it was kind of like, well, we were in the group together and then yada, 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 we were together. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I will say that when I mentioned teams that are really out to, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but out to promote their brand, in their bio and in their video, they say Well Strung like 100 times. And, you know, so to me, that's okay. It's all right. They seem to be very physically fit. They seem to have a good relationship. They seem like they're going to be fun characters. But I hope they don't take their eye off the ball a little bit, trying a little too hard to push it. Now, this is a big platform, so I understand. And they seem, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, that was my hesitation with them, was that they were so focused. And I don't know, do they know the show well? Were they grabbed because people thought they'd be fun? You know, that's kind of things. You don't have to know the show to do well. But it's kind of questions I have. To quote Phil, you know, from the early season, some questions that are coming up that I'm not sure if I had them as high, but I could totally see them doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good point. We didn't get this from Jessica and Cody at all, despite the fact that they both list, you know, we fell in love on Big Brother and we're unemployed. They didn't seem to project that self-promotion in quite the same way, which kind of surprised me. But yeah, these two do tend to be very focused on their brand, which could be a weakness on their part. I think CBS very smartly cut off the last 10 seconds of their video where they said, like us and subscribe if you want to see more. They're in amazing shape. Like, just look at them.
Yeah.
Every second they're not playing a string instrument, they're in the gym. So
yeah,
there's that. They're cultured. They're well-traveled. I think they're very smart. There may be a music challenge. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think a sense of musicality, even if it's not movement, you know, there are so many dance challenges or listen to this song challenge or singing challenges that they're going to have an inherent advantage there. And so I feel like that's become one of the touchstones of Amazing Race tasks. So I feel like they're going to do well there. There's also the physical challenges, which it looks like they are going to do very, very well there. At the starting line, a lot of us were speculating like, okay, are these like bodybuilders? Are these like, who are these guys? And it turns out they're, you know, oh, they sit around all day and play string instruments. My God, if that happens, give me a Stradivarius ASAP. But the interesting thing as well is, I guess their personality types, maybe this is another reason why they wanted to come on together, is that it seems like from what they describe, they also sort of balance each other out. You know, Chris, which I think is the one with more hair, says he's more of a planner and a pragmatist, whereas Trevor is more of like the headsy critical thinker. So I think those are two skills that you really want to apply well to an Amazing Race team. So I think combine those emotional mental aspects with the clear physical aspects that they have, and I think you have a team that's really positioned to do well.
Yeah, Trevor says it himself in his bio. Chris is definitely the yin to my yang.
Yeah, and that's really important because, like we've talked about, some these guys, again, they live together, so they know each other well, and that's going to be good when things get stressful because they're in a band together, which I'm sure they travel around for everything. So, but Mike, you bring up a good point that I probably dismiss a little bit, not just their physical thing, because I tend to draft the buff people who then get eliminated really early. But the difference here is that it's not like they're just in the gym. They have, and they might actually do well on some of the like really intricate tasks where you have to use your hands to match something up. Like, you know, they say make this mask exactly like this. Well, they do, you know, play string instruments. So they might have those skills, the eye hand coordination, which is kind of an undervalued skill in a lot of tasks.
And I mean, Mike studied music back in the day. I think he understands how many different practical applications there are. I do think we've kind of overstated, especially between the two of us, Mike and I have overstated the importance of music tasks on the show because we get one like every two or three seasons and we both get really excited because like, we would have nailed that. But
exactly. It's the one thing on reality TV that I can viably do that's somewhat in my wheelhouse.
I'm still talking about season 23 when they had to sing the Trout song and I wouldn't have had to even look at the music. But I do think if you kind of put that aside and you think of all the different ways that having a mind that is musically trained can help you on all kinds of intellectual tasks, I think this does put them in a pretty good position. And add that to how ridiculously buff these guys are, I'm pretty happy with my pick here, and I'm hoping they go far because they're also very nice to look at.
I was gonna say, yeah, we got a lot of eye candy this season as well, which is always good. That also helps, you know, the aesthetic pleasures of the race also go along with the travel porn as well.
Indeed, there's something for everyone on this cast. All right, so if we're doing snake draft, that means I get to go again, and with my number four pick, I'm gonna choose Team Yale, Henry and Evan.
Ashton?
Yeah, Vank Ashton, which was my first thought when I saw the teams. Like, of all of the teams to ask back from last season, that's the one they're going to go with. But no, this is not Vank and Ashton. These people seem to get along much, much better than
them. Yeah, I like them. They're young, obviously. That's kind of a question mark, but they seem to have a good relationship. It does seem interesting. They're both management consultants and they both have the exact same description in their bio, which makes me think that maybe they both got a job for like a month and then went on the Amazing Race. But I just wonder, because it was like the word for word, they both just cut paste, you know, but I feel like they have such a wide range of possibilities. Like, it's one of those things where they could get kind of overwhelmed by it and they could finish eighth or ninth, or they could really surprise us because they're obviously smart, I would hope, being that she was the highest ranked debater. So I didn't know really what to do with this team. I felt like I ended up ranking them lower on my board, but they still kind of fit in that mid range where I thought they could easily jump much higher. It's just, how are they going to handle? They seem to have a really good relationship. They both mentioned how serious they are, but how are they going to handle the travel being as young as they are? That was my big question.
Well, Dan, I think you're looking at their youth as a disadvantage rather than an advantage. And I think something that we have to think about is, do you remember at the beginning of last season when everybody was picking their teams, one of the criteria that you heard so many people say when they said, like, why did you pick your partner? All of them were saying, I thought about who wins most frequently, who goes to the finals most frequently. Those are mixed gender teams. So I made sure I picked somebody. A lot of the guys said, I made sure I picked a woman, and I picked a young woman and a strong woman. And that young dating couple, Dan, they almost always go very, very far. And that was the whole reason behind my picking them here is, I'm going to pick the young dating couple because that's an archetype that does very, very well here. And the fact that they're also kind of brainiacs and have this debate skill, like the Ivy League education is going to help them intellectually, I think. But mostly it was just the demographics. Like, I looked at, like, this is our token young dating couple. And I think youth, we frequently think it might be a problem and it almost never is.
It's interesting as well, because I would say, I know we had a lot of comments about the season 29 cast that, except for Joey and Tara, who ended up being put together, everyone else was pretty young. And it seems like there are like two, I would say, quintessential young teens, but everyone else here, I feel like, is at least in their late 20s, early 30s. So it's a really interesting group that sort of flip flop in terms of age aesthetics. But yeah, this was going to be my next pick if you hadn't taken them. So I was very, very high on this team. I can totally understand where you're coming from, Dan, in terms of even someone, you know, their direct comparison to Vank and Ashton. They did well sometimes. They did not do well other times. Well, I think that, you know, they definitely have the mental capabilities. I believe that Henry at least plays soccer. So then they have those physical aspects as well. I don't know. It just seems like the age is going to be on their side in terms of stamina. Hopefully, I just feel like they have a good head about them. And it seems like their relationship is good as well. They are not going to be our token fighting couple for the season. I'm going to reserve that for another team that we'll talk about later on. But I have high prospect for them personally.
I can see that. And they did mention that they prepped a lot for the race. And given that, you know, when you're in a debate, you prep a lot too. I could see of any of these teams, this being a team that practiced things and studied past tasks and focused on that. And during the season, that will pay attention to things. So if they do get far enough, they are going to have a better chance to, you know, remember the flags or whatever. So they do have an upside that I'm probably not giving them credit for, because they are not going to be underprepared, I have a feeling.
That's true. I think if there's any downside to these two, the one thing that I would say about them is that they seem too similar. Like, they both have that type A personality, which is helpful on the race. But I see a lot of yin and not very much yang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. It seems like they're very, again, you know, they went to Yale together. They met doing debates. So they have very, very similar interests. And, you know, Team Well Strung is an example of where you can have similar interests, but sort of like alternating personalities. And that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case here, at least not from what they outlined to us. Who knows? It might become more prevalent than we think as soon as, you know, the starting line begins.
Yeah, but I see them listing like similar words to describe themselves and similar fears about traveling and similar things they're excited about. I'm not seeing a whole lot of balance here, and that could throw them off. But I think overall, they are coming in with a pretty good skill set.
Well, speaking of balance, I have my next pick here. Well, I'm going to go with the group that balances well in the snow. Gimme Christy and Jen, Team Extreme.
Ooh, good pick.
Yeah, they were number three on my board, so they would not have survived the next round. So that is good. I think they're going to be very solid. But
yeah, I think that the one thing that's holding me back are the injuries a bit. You know, Christy says in her career that she's had several concussions. Jen's had like 8 knee surgeries. But I mean, I was down on, you know, Andrea from the last Canada season when she got that knee surgery. But they did very, very well, all things considered. I know that the U.S. Amazing Race tends to be a little more physically exhausting than the Canada version proper. So who knows? It might have some negative ramifications on them. But I feel like, sort of like Alex and Connor, they're very well traveled from their time doing the X Games. You know, they're still relatively young. They're 30 and 36, but they also have like a very storied career, especially Christy, where I feel like she has a sense of maturity about her. And I think that's also very essential in the race. Maybe this is what you're sort of referring to beforehand, Dan, with the age thing, about how, you know, I feel like these two have a lot of life experience, and life experience can sort of shape the way you view things, and especially how you sort of view things under pressure. These two don't necessarily feel like, to me, the most exciting personalities, but they seem to be like very, very solid racers overall.
Yeah. And I especially Christy, she does not seem to be on the show because she's a big character. However, she seems to have I've run into athletes like this when you play them in a sport that have this like quiet confidence where it's like their heart rate never goes above like the lowest possible amount. And I think she's that way, where she's just kind of like, yeah, I know I'm good. Yeah, I'm just gonna chill a bit. And Jen seems to have a little more personality in that way. But again, like we talked about with kind of people having, you know, the fact that they're skiers, not like other sports, they have to have that agility, and assuming their injuries aren't so bad. And also, Christy mentioned she's a pole vaulter and all these other things, that it's like, if they've got that ability to do it, and I think they're going to stay pretty low key, possibly more low key than maybe the CBS producers were like. But I think they're one of those teams, like the one that I pick, that are going to likely be pretty consistent early on, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, winter sports teams tend to do very well in the Amazing Race if the previous track record is any indication.
Yeah, sure. We had Andy and Tommy. We had Team Sochi made it to, what, like 5th place in Amazing Race 26. So, yeah, I think honestly that like mind for competition. I know that's sort of like the general theme of this season, but I feel like they in particular really have that in spades.
Yeah. What I wonder is how well they really, like, what is their relationship? That's the thing I didn't really get from the video or even from bios. I read an article about Jen and it mentioned that she had applied for Survivor and that she applied for the Amazing Race with her coach like 4 years ago. And so now she's on the show with Christy, but I didn't see anything about do they know each other well? They don't live in the same city. I'm sure they've run into each other, but it's just one of those where you have two big athletes and they kind of got put together.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern, especially with a lot of these teams that are defined by their occupation. If they're not living together, which many of the other teams that are in this family of teams, I think it's definitely a concern, but we have seen teams, if you don't know each other very well, it's been an advantage because you don't get caught up in your own stuff.
That's true. Yeah. If they're both trying to win, it might, and they don't get offended, maybe it's not a terrible thing, especially compared to like a romantic relationship.
I think that's totally fair. So Dan, I think you're up.
Okay, well, now we've kind of reached the point where I have like three or four teams that I list about the same, you know, so there's a couple teams that I will not pick that I think are going to be on Team Rob, but I may be wrong, so I don't want to assume it. So I am going to pick the team that is hashtag should probably be Team Boring. But, you know, I'm going to go with twin firefighters, Eric and Daniel. Because they seem pretty low key. They seem to be like they're going to do fine. They seem like nice guys. I can't believe Daniel had a son 2 days before the race.
Yeah. But,
which is crazy to me. But well, they're a military guy. Well, no. And I don't mean that. What I'm talking more about is I can't believe they had a son and then he left. You know? But don't mean to make judgments about anything. I know. You got to do what you got to do. But I don't know. They're in the military. They're strong guys. They might not look as strong as some of these other team like players. They're not as buff. But these guys, firefighters, paramedics, I don't know how well traveled they are. They may be a little overwhelmed. But I feel like I look at this team and I go, yeah, that's a pretty steady Eddie kind of team, if you will.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I think this might become the fan favorite team of the season. I feel like they have like Tim and Danny upside. I totally agree with you, Dan. I don't know how well traveled they are, but they might have this sort of like, aw, shucks, I've never been outside of the country before. You know, what is this place type of thing that can really, you know, get on people's good sides. And I think, you know, they've been in the military, as you said, so they sort of have this discipline. They definitely drew some ire at the starting line because, I mean, you see it in their picture. They started the race in flannel shirts and jeans, which you're sort of like, okay, did you just like wander out of a hunting and fishing store to come onto the Amazing Race? I'm assuming they have other outfits that they can use, but I don't think those are necessarily the most athletically viable things to be wearing, quite the opposite of Cody's shorts. The one thing that interested me was they ended their Meet the Teams video by saying that, you know, we want to be able to win with integrity. And I always wonder when you have those teams and you encounter something like a U-turn, I'm wondering what's going to happen when the going gets tough for them. Are they going to be one of those teams to say, well, we don't want to ruffle any feathers, so even though we're in the back of the pack, we're not going to U-turn anybody? Or do you think they will? And then they'll sort of have to live with the moral ramifications of that. I'm not entirely sure, but that's something that really stuck out to me about them.
My favorite thing about this team is in Daniel's bio, he says he puts the wet stuff on the hot stuff and that is his job.
I was going to mention that. I wonder if they have a bit of dry humor. Like we talked a bit about this kind of like, even though they might seem kind of boring, I don't know. They're so laid back that there might be some humor coming from that too. Like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Again, they might be the fan favorite team of the season. And now that I say that, they're of course going to become the most reviled team in Amazing Race history.
Well, they're going to go against all their integrity thing. They're going to U-turn Team Big Brother, and then they're going to mysteriously disappear after they get back. But yeah, Tim and Danny was the first comparison I thought of as well. Like, do seem like they're not totally comfortable on camera yet. They've never been outside of the country They're pretty laid back. Their personalities aren't shining through. And yet, I think once they get out there, they're going to have a lot of fun. And I think they're going to win some fans that way.
I was going to say, this is like the regular guy team, too, or regular person team.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about, like, the season and all these celebrities. And there's a few others like this. And I look at these guys, I'm like, how did these guys end up on this season? It's like, I guess they were trying to balance it out more. But it was kind of, it's kind of interesting where that they seem so different than a lot of these groups.
Yeah, I mean, if the idea is they're champions, I mean, I'm sure they're great firefighters. That's not really a competitive business.
I hope not.
We are the number one at stopping fires. I don't know. There's probably some competition. I'm sure that there is, but you know.
Well, they've been able to fold it into the Amazing Race from time to time. So, you know, there is a little bit of something they do that could be spun as competitive. But yeah, some of these jobs, like Wellstrong, for example, is another one where it's like, what are you the champion of exactly? And other people, it's a little more clear. So this theme that Phil is trying to shoehorn everybody into, some of them fit it a little bit better than others.
Yeah, I agree. So should I move on to my next pick then?
Yes,
oh,
please.
Yeah, rounding out your team now, Dan.
So here we go. This pick is because I don't want to have six dudes on my team. So if I was looking at my list here, I have a team ranked fifth, which is, and I always fall for the professional athletes, but the Cedric and Sean team, because I like them. I think we'll talk about them in a minute, I'm sure, at some point. I also thought about Joey, but I think that team, I don't know. So I'm going to go with the team that I had ranked six that I think is going to be the fighting couple, and I think is going to be a challenge, but I can't pick the two last all female teams. I'm sorry, you know, but I'm going to go with Lucas and Brittany just because I just look at this team as the kind of an odd team. And I didn't expect to pick them, but I don't, like I said, I don't want to have six guys. And I look at this team and I go, well, I do think they are strong, especially her with her rowing. I don't get a read on him at all. They're lifeguards. They will likely do well at the task. I don't know if they're totally ready for the actual race, but you know, I just picked a team that's very down to earth and kind of quiet. I don't think that's going to be the case with this team. So why not mix up my team a little bit? So I'm going with this couple.
Yeah, these were two other people that definitely stood out to me, not just because they're wearing like neon yellow. They stood as a line the entire time as they were lining up these shots, holding hands. I actually yelled out to them like, oh, yellow highlighter, you're so in love. And they like looked at me and smiled at me and waved. I was probably, in heat stroke at that moment, which is why I said something so stupid. But then I looked at their video and it might not necessarily, maybe I might want to take back that statement because yeah, this is what I was alluding to, Dan. I totally agree that this definitely seems like it's going to be the bickering couple of this season, especially because they say it in their video and they say it in their bios about how like she feels like she even admits that she demands a lot of attention that he might not necessarily be able to provide, even in an environment that is not as highly pressurized as the Amazing Race. If you're talking about it in that regard and you're bringing that into this situation, that's not necessarily bode terribly well. Physically, I think they're going to do great. You know, I think they're both very physically adept in that regard. But I think interpersonally, it might not necessarily click, even though they've been together for about 9 years. I think they're very upfront about the fact that there are still maybe some issues in the way they communicate with each other. That's definitely going to carry over into the race itself.
Yeah, I don't quibble with any of that, although I think sometimes there's people that are very intense with each other, and that's just the way they communicate, and it works very well for them. Like, we've seen a lot of bickering couples make it very, very far on this show.
That's very true. Yeah, that's the Blaley factor, right? It's the fact that you guys are not able to work together well most of the time, but you're able to muddle through and push through, so I can definitely see that, too.
Yeah, and if separately they're good enough, their teamwork may matter a little less. But yeah, I didn't have them ranked super high for me either, but it was hard to get a good read on them apart from the sort of tension that they put forth in their video. I think their lifeguarding skills obviously put them in very good physical shape, but I think they are aware that this is an issue for them. And I think when you are aware it's an issue for you, it makes it a little bit easier for you to navigate.
Yeah, you guys bring up good points. I am a little hesitant to pick them, like, you know, but I'm looking at it going, I need to also go against my normal inclinations with picks because I always pick wrong. So I figure maybe I'll try something a little different here. And also, on a completely unrelated note, they remind me a lot of a couple you'd see on House Hunters a bit. just with her descriptions about, you know, I need a big wedding and we got to get this for this. And all, and then he's just kind of like, yeah, yeah. And I mean this, and those couples are, you know, kind of maddening and not really the approach we want to see, and a little simplified, but I don't know. I feel like the bickering couple team almost always finishes fifth. Like many seasons, they by about the point that we are like, I am so done with this team. There are exceptions. They finish fifth. And I look at where I'm picking now and I'm like, that's okay, because I looked at some of the other choices and I see, even though those other teams might have more upside, some of those other teams I just have a sinking feeling about. So you're kind of at a point with these last five teams, or really the middle three that are left, where you got to kind of take a risk, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. I think there are always like front runner teams, and there's teams that nobody wants to touch. And then there's all the teams in the middle, and that's kind of where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mike is rounding out his team. Again, I'm doing the complete opposite of what Dan does, and I'm gonna take risks. Give me the wild cards. Give me team Chomp. What the hell? I'll take Joey and Tim.
God bless you.
I have no idea if these guys are gonna do well. I could definitely see a world where they end up eking out a few legs more than we initially expect. I don't really expect them to make it farther than like seventh place, if we're being completely honest. These guys do not seem like they're nearly as athletic as some of these other teams. You know, Tim Janis is apparently 41 years old. He looks like he's 25, but you know, so they're a little more up there in years than some of the other teams. And I have no idea how applicable the world of competitive eating is going to be to the Amazing Race, but you know, these guys are going to be such camera hogs that they're going to make the most of their time on the race. And due to just that pure possibility of an entertainment factor, I figured I'd round up my team with them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They were the first team that anybody recognized, mostly yep. because Eater X had his Eater X face paint on. And they are also pretty hard to miss at that starting line because they look like they raided Rachel Riley's closet.
Yes, they're wearing, for those of you that haven't seen, they're wearing like glimmering or like sheer green outfits, like emerald green. And I believe at the starting line, they also wore capes as well. So again, like the firefighters, who knows how long that wardrobe is going to last throughout the course of the race, but it certainly made a statement. I will say that.
Are they going to wear those green jumpsuits the whole race? That's my question. Is this a starting line thing, like a wrestler who wears the jumpsuit and then they take them off and they have some green shirts or something? Because like we saw with the last season of the Amazing Race Canada, with the team that decided they were going to wear suits, the gimmick teams that wear weird outfits just don't last very long. Now, I don't think this team will do that badly, but I'm so resistant to teams like this because I feel like their eye isn't on the ball. But I agree, Mike, they're going to be all over the camera. And Joey, especially, he's writing stuff in his bio like, I win everything I try. And, you know, we're so great. And I think a lot of it is posturing. It's kind of for fun. But I think if they do last a while, we're going to see so much of them. So I almost picked them for the same reason. But again, I was like, I can't have six guys, but they're, I think seventh place is pretty accurate.
It sounds about right. And I want to call some attention to two of Eater X's accomplishments. Number one, he is the champion bio writer. His is about twice as long as anybody else's on the website. Also, he is the world burping champion, according to the World Burping Federation, which is a thing.
I'm pretty sure there's only one member, and it's Tim Janis.
Oh yeah, you know that they're going to do a burping contest just so we can five hole it. Is that where we're heading?
What country has burping in their culture that they'd be able to make that happen?
Well, where's the headquarters of the World Burping Federation? Are they going there?
I mean, they did go to Italy and they're like, shave a balloon. I guess they could do like a, oh, go to Oktoberfest and burp.
It would be the worst thing that they've ever done on the show.
I think you've got something there. I think they just got to make it far enough that they can do the burping. If not, it's not going to work.
But there are so many questions. Like, how do you judge a burp? Have like is there a duration? Do you have to like say the alphabet? Or is there somebody judging on like on smell? Like where are we going with this? Does he do it after he competitively eats, or are they two separate skill sets?
Is that what he's going to do if they land on the mat in first place? He's going to burp in Phil's face in excitement.
He's going to burp out the words team number one.
Oh, God. Oh, gosh, please no.
Or Phil's going to try to do it and fail and he's going to show him up.
Oh, there's so many possibilities. I hope they don't go out first. Well, we'll see. And maybe after a half hour, I will hope they go out first. We'll see what happens.
I think whether or not I hope they go out first depends directly on how much burping we see.
That's the right ratio. Yeah.
Is there a burping threshold? Like one burp is good. Like five, you're like, he's gone. We're done.
I think you do kind of reach, like, I'm not sure what the over under is on number of times we're going to see a burp and number of times we're going to see a burp before we wish that they were never on our televisions. But I think both of those things are points to ponder as we move forward. And with that, I think we have nothing more to say about Team Chomp. And I'm going to go ahead and round out my team. And I'm going to betray all of feminism here because there are three teams left on the board. Two of these teams are all female teams. And I think we're all sitting here thinking there's the first team out and there's the second team out. And this is not their fault. They seem like lovely people, but I still want to have a fighting chance of doing well this season with my team. So I'm going to go ahead with Team Slam Dunk. I'm choosing Cedric Sabalas and Sean Marion, who are actual famous NBA basketball players.
Oh, you went with the balls, Jess.
Went with the balls. I'm sorry, feminism.
Yeah, Sean Marion was definitely one of the most recognized. I would say it was like Team Big Brother, Sean Marion, Eater X, and by, you know, proxy, Joey Chestnut. And then maybe a couple of people recognized Alex, the NASCAR driver. But Sean was definitely one of the more recognizable people there. Cedric seems like he might have been out of the game for a bit. But yeah, I would say this team definitely has one of the bigger names on it overall.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Sean Marion is a pretty well-known guy, and Cedric Sabalas has been out of the game longer, but he was also in the NBA in an era during which there were a lot of really top-of-the-game people. Like, early 90s NBA is kind of a sweet spot in NBA history, and that was when he was most active. I always think of him as kind of when you're playing the game NBA Jam, you choose a team and you have two guys from the team, and he would be like the second guy that would be on your team. You'd have like your two guys and one of them would be Charles Barkley. And then one of them would be Cedric Sabalas. Yes, he was. He played for the Suns and Lakers. Mostly you're on fire, but you're playing as Charles Barkley. And then there's like the other guy running around and that guy is Cedric Sabalas.
Unless you have that sheet where you play as the US presidents.
Yeah. Or the team mascots.
Yeah. So these guys, they're interesting because, I mean, Cedric is sort of the old fogey at 48. I guess maybe that was the big detractor for me. I guess that's maybe me being a little ageist in that. I don't know. He just doesn't look like he's really in the best shape to run the race. So I feel like Sean might be the one pulling the weight on behalf of the two. And this is another like Christie and Jen situation where, like, I guess Cedric, you know, joined the same organization as Sean after he retired for a little bit, but I don't really know how much they know each other. So this team was just a really big question mark for me, which really, I think, detracted me from picking it overall.
Yeah. I also wonder about, it's just athletes in general when they're older. I mean, even some that are younger that we've seen, you had that team that got eliminated by Phil in the airport, and you've had other ones like that where they seem on paper to be better than they are. I mean, yes, you had Marcus who did very well, and it makes me wonder if we're going to get a lot of basketball references, or obviously you had the Globetrotters who, you know, did well. So there's exceptions to the rule. I just wonder about this team because I look at them and think I should pick them early. Sean Marion was at one point one of the top 5 or 10 players in the NBA when he was in his prime. You think these guys are real athletes, but for some reason, I don't know how well they're going to do. I almost think like the skills the Amazing Race goes for are not always what 40s-ish NBA players will have. So I'm excited. They seem like really nice guys and laid back, especially Cedric. He's another one of those like really laid back people. But I think they're going to be fun to watch. But how far they go is up in the air. That's what made me not pick them.
These are two pretty big guys. And I think that's something that's not always an advantage on the show. Like, you've had guys who are really super tall and they're in great physical shape, but there are a lot of tasks that require a little more agility than you can get when you're that big. So I think that's one thing that might give us a little pause. And I think we are also all thinking about that team from season 23 who got eliminated in the airport. of the NFL players.
Chester and Ephraim, rest in peace.
You saw them kind of struggle a little bit. Like, they did very well until they didn't. And I'm not sure that, like, we've also seen a lot of trouble when the Globetrotters were out their second and third times. You saw that Big Easy had a lot of trouble with certain tasks he wasn't allowed to do because of his size. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't quite as nimble as we had thought they might be initially. So I think that is a downside. But I also think these guys seem to have stayed in pretty good shape. Like, they looked like they were keeping up with everybody else at the starting line, as far as I could tell. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad pick. And I think of the teams left on the board, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, Sean also saying that, you know, he's more adaptable. And, you know, I think Cedric calling himself the old head, I do see sort of interpersonally how he would be more of the calm, logical, steady one, where Sean might, you know, be one to more fly off the handle a little bit. So I do agree that I think out of these three teams, they definitely stand the best chance of doing well. I just don't know if they're going to do too well. That being said,
yeah, I don't think they're anybody's winner pick.
No, I had them ranked fifth, but I didn't end up picking them. So that tells you something. But they're kind of in that 5-8 range or 5-9 range. I mean, they were way ahead of the last two teams. So you made the correct choice. If you had picked one of the other ones, I would have been really surprised. So I think they will outlast the other two, particularly one team that is my lock it in first one out. But so I think you made the right choice.
All right, Dan. Well, why don't we go ahead, since we got two more teams to cover, why don't you go ahead and tell us who that team is, your lock team for first one out?
Okay. So I was talking about gimmicks and about teams that just seem like they seem like neat people, but they just don't seem like a team that is going to last more than a leg or two. And I think the Goat Yoga team has got to be the first one out. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it. I may be wrong because I'm not speaking that highly of Desi and Kayla, but April and Sarah, I know they do yoga, so they're obviously strong, but something about their video and everything. And I look again, go back to the last season of Amazing Race Canada with the morticians. And I look and I just go, no, I can see a scenario where they finish last. Am I wrong though? Should it be flipped? That's the question. Or we're splitting hairs at this point.
Yeah. So my gut, and we'll talk about Desi and Kayla, my gut is that Desi and Kayla could go first, just because, I don't know, April and Sarah have sort of like a weird bowling moms-esque, like, I don't know, aura about them to me. We're like, I could see them sort of lasting much longer than we ever would have initially expected, even though I think one big sticking point, I think one big reason why I totally see where you're coming from, Dan, is that April says, I mean, admittedly, I don't have the best sense of direction, which even looking so far back as to the last season, Team Long Hair Don't Care got eliminated because they were horrible with direction. So if it becomes a self-driving leg in the first leg, I think there's a chance we might want to kiss Team Goat Yoga goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, nobody's got them high on their board. I think they have a good attitude, which takes you farther than you'd think on this show. And, you know, people with goats have a pretty good track record on this show, surprisingly.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I think, how are you the champion at yoga? Yoga, like, the whole point of yoga is to not compete with anybody else and not compete with yourself. So in that regard, I think that's a skill set that's hard to translate onto something like the Amazing Race, and especially something where everybody else is purportedly a champion at something.
Yeah, they could be the champion of, like, small businesses, I guess, right? Because I'd heard of the goat yoga trend, but I guess they claim that, much like Ray's Pizza here in New York City, like, they're the original goat yoga.
Wait, hold on. There's more than one of these? This is a thing? Capital T thing?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of videos about, like, you've got to check out goat yoga. And they talk in the video about how it's, like, become, like, a global thing. So I guess they're the ones that started the original version of goat yoga.
Yeah, well, when they first showed up at the starting line, I tweeted something like, is this yoga for goats or yoga with goats? And someone just tweeted back to me, yes.
A little bit of both,
I guess.
That's
so.
That's a good answer. You know, they also mentioned that Sarah has a paddleboard business, too, which is in the bio. I wonder if they are really like champion. They're almost like someone who'd be on the Hustlers on Survivor, like the champion entrepreneur, like Rodney. You know, they have like 20 businesses or something. And goat yoga is what got grabbed onto. They make people happy, all caps. So that's a good thing, right? I mean, that can't go wrong.
And goats don't judge. They just love.
Oh, man. I hope, you know, the thing is, they could be fan favorites if they last even four or five episodes, not weeks, I guess. But I don't know, something about them. But, you know, really, I look at them and I look at the other team that's left, and both of them look like teams that should be first out. So I guess one of them probably, and like we always say, the team that doesn't go out first will probably not be 10th. They always last longer than we think. They'll be 8th or 7th, and someone I pick first will be 10th. So so you never know. Somebody's going to surprise us.
And I'm thinking back, Dan, to back in Amazing Race Canada, when you and I sat there talking about how we thought Frankie and Amy, a mother-daughter team with wacky hair and lots of tattoos, we thought they had no chance of going further than first one out. They're like, unequivocally, this is our pick for the team that's not going to go any further. And they ended up in like fifth place. So there's always one of those teams. And you're right. One of those teams, one of these two teams is going to go a lot further than we think. And if I had to put money down, I'd say it was this team. But I don't know. They don't, on paper, they are less impressive than I want them.
And another interesting thing as well is that apparently April is also dyslexic and a picky eater. So I feel like the window of things that she might be able to do on the race is a little more shrunken than her partner. So we'll see how that dynamic works out. Unlike some other teams, they've known each other since high school. I'll be intrigued if they're as quirky as they were on their video. I'll be excited to see however many episodes they last on our screen. But yeah, I'll keep my expectations low and hopefully they exceed them.
I'm envisioning now, like, my ideal scenario is they're at a challenge, and the challenge is to eat like a bowl of live crickets or something. And April, the picky eater, is sitting across from Eater X, and she beats him at it. That would be amazing television, would it not?
Yes, absolutely. I would love that.
So that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for one of those moments where they really exceed everybody's expectations in a huge way. And so that's, you know, that's why we tune in. So, okay, let's go to our final team here. Hashtag the ring girls. This is Desi and Kayla. They are MMA ring girls. Is that right?
Yes, but they're also models. I'm not entirely sure about this one either, but they're going with the ring girls because I feel like that's a career we don't see at all on The Amazing Race. But I mean, their attitudes are as high as their ponytails. They're ready to take on the race.
Yeah, they have a good energy about them. I will give them that. But one thing that really disappoints me about Amazing Race casting is that in some of the promos that I've seen for the season coming up, they show the two of them like in gloves, like in a ring. And that's not what ring girls do. If they want to cast female boxers, they could find them. I know like 20 of them. I will put you in touch with them. They'd be great on the race. And yet you have the ones that parade around in a bikini holding up a sign. And that's what you do to represent combat sports and women. It's a little regressive, CBS. And I'm not knocking the profession of modeling. I know it's difficult. I know there are skill sets involved. But we've had teams of models on this show before. And I very rarely do they exceed my expectations.
Yeah. And I think of, you know, I always underestimate this type of team. But sometimes, like with Brittany and Jessica in season 28, I was correct. But then you have like the big example is Tiffany and Krista, who did so well in season 27. So it's not always the case. But when I watch this video and they're like, anything you can do, we can do together. And then they're like, I love smiling. And I mean, it's really hard. And I say, and I'm not trying to be, it's really hard to watch the video and read the bio and not think, come on, Amazing Race, really. I mean, there are plenty of really good looking people that you can find that are, you know, that would fit better. And I don't, I mean, they could surprise us. All I'm basing it on is a 2-minute video and a bio. But this really feels like they're just casting for a type. And I don't know, not that exciting, but I hope they surprise us. I really do. I don't want it to be what I think it's going to be.
And the one thing that I noticed on their video amidst all the, you know, Desi smiles while Kayla smolders in their pictures is that apparently they both used to be gymnasts, or they are gymnasts. So I think that, again, we might have a certain perception of them, but maybe they're going to be a little more athletically inclined than we initially think on the surface. Yeah. So I think that bodes well for them. But yeah, again, this is another team that I really can't put my finger on, but something tells me that they're going to be the first people out. Like you're saying, Dan, if they end up making it past the first couple legs, they can actually do really, really well once they get into a groove, the Tiffany and Krista of it all. But I don't know, something's just telling me that they're not going to adjust well to what's happening on the race.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get as well. Like, if any team, like, they feel a little more Miami Real Estate and a little less Tiffany and Krista, if we want to make some comparisons.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think, like we've talked about, there's a lot of competitive, interesting teams here. So I think it makes them stand out a little more than they might in some seasons, because this cast overall seems pretty fun and pretty varied. And then for them to just, you know, pick a type that we've seen a lot, I hope we're wrong. Like you said, they're gymnasts. They might get out there and just do great. I've been wrong many, many times, as we've talked about with my drafting. So I hope to be wrong again.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of a unique thing about our cast preview shows, is that I feel like every single one of these teams, when we start talking about them, we finish it up with, I hope we're wrong. And yeah. I don't think we've ever said, I hope I'm right about this. I hope that I'm able to turn around and tell you guys I told you so about one person or another. I think we all hope to be surprised and to be proven wrong in a spectacular way. So Desi and Kayla, I am rooting for you in that regard. Like, please show that you're more than just the type that CBS felt they needed to have on the show, because apparently if there's no pretty girls on the show, people will not watch or something.
Definitely. 100%. I agree.
And if you do have to fill that particular slot with that particular type, I think there are more interesting ways to go about it. And I always hope for better from CBS casting in the future. We don't need models every season. So let's just run down the list of teams here. Just to recap what we've done here, even though I know that over the course of the season, we're going to gradually abandon the conceit of teams, which we do every season, because people complain about it when we talk about it. And then there's like three people that say, why did you stop talking about the draft? Are you ashamed of how you did? Anyway, to recap, Team Mike, we got Team Big Brother, Team Extreme, and Team Chomp. Do you have a hashtag for your team, Mike?
Oh, boy. Well, I am the only person that has a co-ed team, a female-female team, and a male-male team. But I feel like these are all going to be the biggest camera whores as well. I can't go with Team Camera Whores, too, because that just feels pithy from last season. Oh, boy. Oh, God. Now I'm trying to come up with something off the fly, but we can go. Can I hybridize something? How sure. About a big extreme chomp?
Okay, big extreme chomp is Mike's hashtag. And Team Dan is Team IndyCar, Team Firefighters, and Team Lifeguards. I feel like you're the heroes of the heroes, healers, hustlers of it all here. What would you call your team, Dan?
Well, is it too long to say hashtag team not six dudes? Is that too long for that?
It's shorter than Mike's.
Yeah, it's shorter than big extreme chomp.
Because I don't feel like I'm totally team boring, because, you know, last time I think I was team half boring. But yeah, let's do team not six dudes.
Okay.
Try that.
I like it. And I don't have six dudes either, but I have five dudes. I failed my gender. I have team well strung, Team Yale Debate, and Team NBA, and I will go ahead and call my team High Strung, because I think I got all the type A people.
I like that.
That's good. It's no team not six dudes, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think you win the hashtag. I think you are the champion of the hashtags, if you will, Dan. And over on Team Rob, he will be rooting for Goat Yoga and Ring Girls. And do we have a hashtag for Rob's team?
Goat Girls.
Goat Girls.
It's a hybrid, and it also unfortunately refers to how we think they might do on the race, both of those teams.
Yeah, that's about right. So if you got all the way to the end of this crazy podcast and you want to tell us who you are rooting for, you can go with our hashtags that we have just come up with now. For me, that's Team High Strung. For Dan, that's Team Not Six Dudes. For Mike, that's Team Big Extreme Chomp. And if you're rooting for Team Rob, which I think all of us are deep down, that hashtag is Team Goat Girls. So that brings us to the end of our 11 teams, and I think we may want to take a few minutes to talk about what we know about what's coming up for the season, especially what's coming up for the first episode. I know they are headed to a country that I've been to. They're going to Iceland for this first leg, which is the first time since season 6. And how do you guys feel about that?
Who can forget Avi and Joe singing New York Jews in Iceland and then immediately going home? That's like one of the positive memories I have associated with Amazing Race 6. I mean, it's cool that they're going to a cold location to start. Like you said, it hasn't been done in a long time. And I feel like they usually almost always go someplace warm. So it'll be a nice adjustment. And we'll see, you know, maybe that changing climate as well might lead teams to already be grouchy right off the bat, which makes for better TV. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really beautiful day when they took off from New York, and to end up in Iceland of all places. I mean, it's not the coldest place they could have gone. I think they've been to some even colder places in very recent seasons, but I think it is going to be a little bit of a shock. But I'm looking forward to seeing some of the landscape there. I know that one of their first destinations is pretty far off the beaten path. It was someplace I hadn't even heard of, so that will be fun. And I think we might see some of those extreme looking first leg tasks that always make for good television, if not great racing, and that will be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I think it's the season 6 connection. We'll have to keep tracking this because it does feel that way a lot. And you know, that season they had one where they climbed an ice wall that was really hard, so we might see something like that. Let's just hope everybody can drive stick. That's the main thing we want to see, because I don't want to lose.
And nobody takes each other's cars.
Yeah, I don't want too many connections with season 6, but the competitive side of it, you know, maybe the puking soup challenge we can try. But, you know, everything else, let's pull back a little bit.
Yeah. And let's avoid having anybody saying anything accidentally racist.
We can only hope.
So every Wednesday night throughout the month of January, you will be watching The Amazing Race 30 on CBS if you are in the U.S. And you'll be watching it on CTV in Canada if you are up in Canada. And because of the peculiarities of trying to cram an entire season's worth into 6 weeks, some of you up in Canada get to know how the race ends before the rest of us do, which should be a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that you'll be kind and not spoil it for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, we might spoil things for them in the beginning, since I believe that it premieres on CTV a couple of weeks or a month, I think, actually, because I believe they're showing all the episodes in like a 2 to 3 week stretch in February. Right. So they're going to have the entire first month spoiled for them. But hopefully they don't think that Turnabout is fair play and they decide to, you know, spoil us on the finale summarily.
Yeah, let's hope not. And, you know, I'm sure people will find ways to fly back and forth across the border to watch the episodes as early as possible. And I'm not condoning that, but I'm not saying you're wrong either. And of course, as the episodes air in the U.S., I will be speaking with Rob Cesternino, who will be returning to the podcast that he has right after the premiere of season 30. But we will also be joined by a third co-host, which I'm very excited to report that Mike will be joining us permanently for all of season 30. So, Mike, we're excited to have you.
Absolutely. I'm assuming it's only because 30 is divisible by 3, right? The math had to work out.
Well, the math never has to work out, as our draft evidences. But we just like having you around. And also, Mike is covering the series for Parade magazine, so you can check out all of his coverage on parade.com. And how has it been so far? How are you enjoying your coverage?
Oh, I've absolutely loved it so far. 2017 has been, we're recording this on New Year's Eve. It's been honestly a year I would have never expected in my life to be able to, you know, interact with Survivor and Big Brother, and now to sort of add Amazing Race onto that. As I mentioned before, I got to do an interview with Phil in preparation for the 30th season premiere on this Wednesday, talking about, you know, him looking back on the 30 seasons, looking ahead to this season. And we got into a really nice, poignant conversation about, you know, how 9/11 had affected the show, because those of you that may have jumped onto the series a little bit later, it premiered the week before 9/11 happened, and it affected a lot. And a show that talks about, you know, traveling the world, it affected a lot about how the United States views the world and vice versa. So I really enjoy getting to talk with Phil. I'm a little TBD on exactly what coverage I'm going to be doing for Amazing Race proper this season on Parade, but there will be coverage there nonetheless. And yeah, I'm super excited to join you and Rob as well. I'll be the requisite sound guy / camera guy. To be following you two around, the invisible guy that you have to buy plane tickets for that they never show outright on the show.
And so we'll have to buy the 4 plane tickets, and then we'll have to shoot it again with us buying 2 plane tickets.
Yes, exactly. Every podcast has to be done with both me and not me being there.
Well, that will be an interesting addition to our workloads there, Mike. But we're happy to have you on, and I know you make everything you podcast about better, so that will be very exciting. So join us. I believe the podcast is going to drop Thursday morning after the premiere this coming Wednesday, January 3rd. So look forward to that. You can follow me on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie.
And I am at the Dan Heaton.
And I am at a Mike Bloom type.
And we all love to hear from you guys about what you're looking forward to this season. Who are you rooting for? How wrong are we? And if your quibble is that I don't like Big Brother as much as I do, don't at me. Thanks very much, everybody. And we'll see you next week.